Hello and welcome to episode 22 of the Game Train podcast. I'm Callan Davison, and joining me as always is Carl Smith.
Hello, here I am.
All right, guys, I've got a massive episode for you guys today. We are featuring Gran Turismo Sport on the PS4.
Yes, we are.
We have a preview of Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Plus our normal questions, backtrack, hype and lame train. So let's jump right into it with the news. Animal Crossing Mobile is out now on both Android and iPhones.
Yeah, that's nice, but also, the original Xbox backward compatibility is now available on Xbox One with 13 games already running, including Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic and Black.
Warner Brothers has killed off LEGO Dimensions.
The fall update is now out for Xbox One.
Metal Gear Survive release date has been announced, being 20th of February next year.
The Nintendo Switch software version 4.0.0 is now out, and it allows you to do a lot of new things, including using your GameCube controllers and record video.
Also, Dragon Ball FighterZ got a release date, and that's going to be the 26th of January 2018.
Nice. The next Steam sale kicks off right now, actually, by the time you're listening to this. So jump on there and get yourself some good deals.
I just heard the sounds of wallets opening everywhere.
Wallets crying.
The campaign length for Star Wars Battlefront 2 has been announced. It's going to be about 5 to 7 hours long.
Nice. Shorter than I thought. That's cool. Destiny 2 is out now for PC. A first for the franchise.
Awesome. And that's the news. Alright guys, so we're going to have a quick talk on the games we have been playing this week.
Yes.
So we're going to kick it off with the two SNES minigames that we've been looking at.
Yep.
Which is Final Fantasy 3/6, depending which country you're in, and Kirby's Dream Course.
Yeah, and so just to clear up, because it's 3 to some people, 6 to some people, but it's the one that was just before 7.
Yes, so it's 3, but 7 yeah. Followed it, but if you got it in Japan, it would actually be 6.
That's right.
Yes.
Or
is that the US? It would be 6.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's the one on the SNES Classic Mini. Look, the only Final Fantasy.
It's regarded as one of the best Final Fantasies there is.
Yep.
It's the old 2D sprites before it went 3D and 7. I picked it up the other day and the music track kicks in and straight away the old memories came flooding back of just one of my favorite Final Fantasy scores that there has been in the series.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, I love the Final Fantasy 3/6 soundtrack. And the story's great. The characters are interesting. It's awesome. Like, if you've got a SNES Classic Mini, legit play through this game. It's one of the best Final Fantasies there is.
I'm really excited to get further in. I did jump straight into it just to, have a look for this. And I gave it quite a bit. I think I maybe gave it 2 or 3 hours. And it was just beautiful.
Yep.
It's aged so well. Especially, I guess, now with this huge boom of pixelated graphics and, RPGs being like that, it's made us really comfortable and quick to sort of accept that kind of graphics and just really jump into those worlds really quickly.
Yeah.
And it was just straight away great writing. It's interesting and it's funny. It's quirky. The battle system was actually a lot more action-packed than I remembered. I mean, it's still just two sprites on one side of the screen and one moves a bit forward. But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I didn't expect it was active time battle. So it was, that was really fun. And I'm excited to see more of the story, more on that later when I jump further in. But yeah, worth a look.
The other game was Kirby's Dream Course. So we actually didn't know which order to do the Kirby games in because there was actually two on the SNES Classic Mini.
Yeah, or 9, depending on how you
count. The other one's full of mini games. But so yeah. We decided to go with Dream Course this week. So it's like a golf game, but you use Kirby himself as the ball.
Yeah.
And you've got to sort of angle him around these little courses, which is full of like sort of sloped edges.
Yeah, so strategically aim and choose how powerful you hit him in a direction. But you also have to knock out a few enemies before you unlock where the hole is.
Yeah, and then each course gets progressively harder. That's pretty much the game in a nutshell.
Yeah, and it's like there's like little rebounds and it kind of has like elements of pool or maybe mini golf, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't a big fan?
No, I wasn't really.
It got me straight away. I guess I'm still feeling the Golf Story fever.
Yep.
And as soon as I figured out that that's what it was, which I had no idea, I'd only ever seen screenshots, and I thought you were like, I don't know, rolling around more like Glover or Monkey Ball or something. But I figured out it was a golf ball and that you just...
Or Marble Madness.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that. But as soon as I saw it, like, it was depending on power and where on Kirby you hit him, and it controls the curve of the hits, and you know, there was a bit of strategy in there. I actually really enjoyed it. I wasn't very good for my first few shots, but I'm really enjoying it. It was a lot more charming than I expected. So yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I've got to put a bit more time into it, but I wasn't that thrilled with it. But mind you, I should sit down and actually
have a go.
Try and get past the first hole.
Yeah. Oh, is that what happened? I mean, did you just press a bunch of buttons?
I went flying off the edge of the first course and went, yeah, okay, I'm done.
Wow. No, I was like, this is charming, because Colin's like, no, didn't like it. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. But yeah.
Well, one of the other games I've been playing is Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Ah, yes.
Episode 2 came out, A Brave New World.
Oh, yeah? How did it stack up?
I haven't finished it yet. I'm probably about halfway through.
Okay.
For me, episode one ended on such a high note, and it feels like it brought it right back down going into episode two. I'm assuming episode two going to have a high crescendo.
Okay, yep, nailed it.
No, crescendo, there we go.
I don't know, I think you nailed it the first time. Let's just go there.
Towards the end, again. Yep. I'm interested to see where it goes, because it feels like there's a few more complications being put into the game now.
So you think they're going to ride these chapters on like a cliffhanger-style builds? Yeah. I guess they should. Yeah, that makes sense.
But this one's only three parts, so it's going to be interesting how this one ends, you know, being really the second act of a three-act play.
This is meant to be the big act.
Yeah.
This is the Empire Strikes Back.
Pretty much, yeah. So, all right. As I said, I haven't completed it yet. I'm about halfway through. Things are starting to get a bit more interesting now.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see how they play it out, how they wrap it up, and how it will lead into the original Life is Strange series. That's what I'm interested in. So I'm saying now maybe part three will come out maybe December or January. Like, it was about 6 to 8 weeks between the first two episodes. I'm expecting a similar gap.
All right. Now, real quick, do you like Chloe yet?
I've always liked Chloe.
Okay, cool. All
right.
I guess so.
Yeah. But this story is more about Rachel Amber than Chloe.
Oh, is it?
Well, you find out a lot more about Rachel.
Okay, cool.
In this one. And you find out it's a lot of character development with Chloe on how she is the sort of person she is once you meet her
in the
original Life is Strange.
Of course. Another one we've both been playing is, and here it is back in the news, Destiny 2. Well, no, it's because we finally got to try the raid. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Melvick. Is that everyone?
No, I'm not thanking Melvick for that. So, we did the raid the other night, which is the six-man team stuff in Destiny.
Yep.
Where you've all got to coordinate together. And
everyone has a role.
By coordinate, I mean like people are getting on objects. People are jumping into giant balls and having to race through little courses in the background, while others have to shoot certain patterns on the walls.
Classic raid stuff.
Where you need all six people going because each person has a role.
Yeah, I love that. But
it was great.
Holy moly.
Until Melvick Smith. Thanks, mate.
By name. Sorry, bro.
Thank you, Melvick, for disconnecting in the middle of that when we almost beat it. Well, beat that part of the raid.
We're on try number, like, 10 or whatever. And we finally got it.
Yeah.
I mean, and then good old Connor, ready to go to bed, and he's going like, you know what, I'll do one more. And we just nailed it. It was like poetry.
The smoothest run.
And then we're like, wait, where's Melvick? And then, graciously, Connor's like, you know what, I'll do one more. So we're like, oh my God, he's going to do one more. Same thing happened. And everyone's like, where's Melvick's house? Let's go burn it down.
But it was fun. We only did one part of the raid. The raid's quite...
Oh, we did two parts.
Oh, two parts of the raid, sorry. There are several puzzles in the raid that you've got to do as a team, so we didn't progress past this one because of...
Reasons, yeah.
Because of reasons. But it was fun, and I would like to have a look at some other parts of the raid some other time. But the other big game, which is out now...
Right now.
is Super Mario Odyssey. And yes. Carl got a bit of a preview of that game this week.
Oh, I was very lucky, so thank you very much to Nintendo for that.
Yes, they've given Carl a copy of the game, which we didn't get enough time to review it. So that's going to be one of our reviews next week
yes,
on the show.
It'll be
so
one of the feature games.
A quick preview now of what the game is like.
Yeah, wow. These guys are just the masters of fun. I just jumped in, you know, for a couple of hours just to have a little look. And it immediately just feels like a classic, modern, beautiful Mario. As soon as you do your first transformation, I mean, we all know that's what, you know, is the gameplay hook in this one with your magic hat. But from the moment I did it, even after watching all the previews and even having a go, but as soon as I did it myself, I couldn't stop smiling and almost laughing out loud at how fun it was. It was like funny, enjoyable. And once I actually... They recommend you play it with the Joy-Con separated, but I just really wanted to turn with the Pro Controller, and it feels awesome like that. Like for me, it was just so comfy. I straight away knew how to move a lot more comfortable than when I had a go at the EB Expo. I think I got through to the second world sort of thing. I just started the Odyssey, what it's named after, which is his ship. Just about to progress further into that, but yeah, I'm just loving it. I fought two bosses. Yeah, you missed one. It feels immediately wonderful. You know, and Callan said, like, is this game of the year for you? You know, having a laugh. I'm like, I've only played, you know, just the shortest amount of time. Don't be ridiculous. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I can totally feel how this could be that. Like, if it's going to be just this huge ride of that kind of fun, but like, so many new costumes and worlds and puzzles. And just in that first hour, I found so many little secrets, which is just such the spirit of Mario in this giant adventurous world and all this fun. And also in every sort of nook and cranny, there's like things to discover. That feeling of whimsy and fun and discovery, it was immediately there. So I'm very excited to jump in and take more of a look at that.
I'm looking forward to picking up the game and giving it a go.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun, and you were so excited to finally sit down and play. It was like watching a child opening a present.
I was even sitting on the carpet.
He was sitting on the floor, cross-legged. So you guys know, we're actually recording this across from each other at the moment.
Yeah.
Because, that brings me to my shout-out of the week.
Oh, yes.
Right? So, shout-out of the week this week goes to AGPN, which is the Australian Gaming Podcast Network,
yes,
which we're a part of.
Yeah, yeah, on the Facebook group.
On the Facebook group, yep.
Yep, yep.
Which is pretty much just a collection of Australian gaming podcasters all getting together and just sort of showing each other stuff, or, you know, asking if anyone wants to hang out or play games together, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the group, the leader of the group, or the host of the group, I should say,
yes,
has put together an event at PAX called AGPN Presents Party Mode at PAX. So this is on Saturday afternoon in the Wombat Theatre. It's going to run from 4:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. And a bunch of the podcasters, not us, are going to be playing games against each other up on stage. So we're going to be there.
Yeah, we'll be watching.
Out.
Look out for our Game Train shirts,
yep,
if you guys want to,
yep, we'll
come
be there.
Say hi.
And as I mentioned before, yeah, we're going to PAX tomorrow. That's why Carl is here with me.
Yes.
Broadcasting straight across from me.
Wait, we're going to go to PAX for all 3 days.
Yes.
And we'll be, you know, recording a little bit more on that later. But
yes.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. But now we're going to go into our feature review, which is GT Sport. GT Sport is developed by Polyphony Digital and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment.
Nice.
Yes, thank you.
Nailed it.
Yeah, this is actually the first Gran Turismo on PlayStation 4. The last one came out in the PlayStation 3 back in 2013.
Oh, wow. That's the very end of the PlayStation 3's
That would have been around when PlayStation 3 was wrapping up and PlayStation 4 was just kicking off.
Wow, so they just made it in there. Okay.
Just made it in there. First entry on current gen for PlayStation. So this is a Sony exclusive?
Yeah, well, these guys, they kind of run... They're like the rock star of racing games, really, in the way they take their sweet, sweet time making a racing game each time.
And this isn't like a Mario Kart where it's all arcadey and fun. This is a racing sim, so...
Yeah.
Like, they've gone for the real proper physics and ultra-realistic looks and sounds and everything like that, which... Yeah. I feel in terms of, like, the look and the sound of the game, they've absolutely nailed.
Oh my God.
That's an A right through there. Every car just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
From, like, just the quiet revs, the loud roars of, like, the motor.
Yeah, and when you're wearing headphones and hearing them, like, on either side of you, like, even the different cars, specific motors.
Yep.
Like, incredible.
I think the graphics as well looks amazing. All the cars look slick.
Oh, man. And that HDR is just gorgeous, too, with, like, the sunsets and the skies and those backgrounds, even the roads look really pretty.
And then, like, with the sunsets, for example, I was turning corners into the sun and I could hardly see because I was getting blinded by the sun. Crashed.
Nice.
Cool.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, it was great.
Good old realism.
Yeah.
That's some sim for you.
It wasn't sim there. So, there is a career mode in this game. Like, in the older series, there is... a driving course where you do a number of different events to learn how to drive, from just simple things like starting and stopping
now
to taking basic corners.
Yeah, it was very specific.
Yes.
But I found myself enjoying the driving school way more than I thought I would.
Yes.
And at first I thought it was more of a tutorial, but then I kind of realized that it is more of a mini game. Like, it's quite a serious part of it. And I also, I think leveling up feels really fun and interesting. I didn't really expect that.
Yeah.
But it was, I don't know, like you got a level for everything, like the distance you went and how well you did. And your driver gets a level. You unlock cars after doing certain achievements within the game.
And you also unlock new tracks as you go up levels too.
Yes. Yep. Which you can play in arcade mode anytime and race your friends and get online and stuff.
And then there are also challenges from there where it's like, okay, you start at the back of this pack and you just got to get to the front of the pack before the finish line, or hit a certain number of cones.
Or reach a certain speed.
Yes.
Using the slipstream. So they really teach you. And then I was saying to Callan, like, I thought, okay, well, now that we've done all the lessons and we've done all the racing mini games. Okay, cool. There's one called the circuit run. So I'm just going to do a bunch of circuits. And you choose a circuit, and they break up the circuit into 8 separate pieces. And you learn the circuit bit by bit. And they teach you that, and you get, you know, gold, silver, bronze, right up till you reach the 8th bit. And then you do the whole circuit. And you do that for like 20, 25 odd circuits. So there's a lot of content in there. Heaps.
The one thing I miss, though, is like... So they call this the career mode. I kind of miss starting out with like... you know, a low car, and then you slowly get money, and then you upgrade your car, and then that allows you to go into the faster races, and then you progress from there. It's like this slow progression throughout the game, and then you do your licenses between, so you'd start out with like a B license.
Yeah.
And then you go up from there.
Yes, and so on.
And I kind of missed that in this.
Yeah,
yeah. They've left all that out, and I'm a little sad at that, because that was one of my favorite features. That's what I was looking forward to, was a nice career mode starting... that it's great with the driving school and all that, but I feel like there could have been a bit more there.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the way they do that in the old, like in Dirt 3, for example, and you start off and you're a nobody and you have this like crappy little motorhome and you can see inside it, and then it starts getting better because you're richer, you get a bigger garage and more cars, and if you feel like part of the character. Worth mentioning, the photo mode is like... just ridiculous, like mind-blowingly cool. You can take your car and put it in like these real places, and the lighting works exactly. If there's water on the ground, it reflects your car, like in these, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you can go around the world in different spots, and
like in the middle of Japan or Europe,
yeah, or New Zealand, and just pop your car right there, and you know, as you edited it. But you know, I guess that's to be expected. Also, sorry, split screen.
Yes.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah. That was like we had a race today.
Yeah.
I won easily.
It was the car.
It was the car, which was hilarious.
He's thank like, you. Very
he's
big
like,
of you.
He's like, it doesn't matter what car you choose. I'm like, okay. So I chose a fast one. He chose this ordinary car. I destroyed him. And I just looked at him and was like, think it's the car, mate. And you're like, yeah.
I made no mistakes. And I'm just like, putt, 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 putt.
But speaking, like, well, looking at that, there was no real slowdown. We didn't really lose any frame rate. It looked great.
Yeah.
Split screen still. So it ran quite well. But the other multiplayer, I jumped online and had a look at that online. That was cool because there are certain times that races start. So a race might start at 9 p.m. and it opens for qualifying at maybe at 8:45. So at 8:45, you jump on and you do a qualifying lap. And then it ranks your time against other times and puts you into a race with people with similar times to yours. And then it goes from there into the main game. But they've got this other thing, which I call no dickheads mode.
Oh, nice.
Whereas in every other racing game that you play online, you always get people just trying to knock each other off the road, etc. In this, your score actually gets decreased if you try and do that to people.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's called, they add seconds to you and stuff.
Yeah, it's called sportsmanship mode, so you get a lower sportsmanship rating.
Yeah, that's just brilliant.
Yeah.
So, and they even have the videos at the start that you have to watch.
Yes.
That teach you about respect in sport, all sport, not just car sport.
Yep.
And just about like good sportsmanship. And it's just, it's like a video that every multiplayer person in the world needs to watch.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they eventually start, if your ranking drops so low in sportsmanship mode, they put you in races with everyone else that has low sportsmanship mode.
Yep.
So, yeah, it could just get quite chaotic down there, but that's...
We should almost try that.
And the other mode you had a look at was the VR.
Yes, I jumped in VR. So did my girlfriend, Jack. We both nearly threw up. It looked awesome and it was so fun, but it was the first time, and I'm very good with VR normally. I've read a lot of reviews about certain games that make you feel sick and they don't do it to me. So I thought, oh, okay, I must be going all right with this. As soon as I jumped in that car and took a few dips and did a few, like, you know, burnouts and carving around corners, it just was so weird because I think it's because you're supposed to be seated. And that's how you drive. And your body's like, yep, this is all normal. And then when you wear that VR, we were in a convertible. So we could look up and we could see the sky and we could see the clouds. And it was just beautiful. But I was like, I felt outside. So when the car started moving and I didn't, my body was like, no, this is incorrect.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But it was just so fun. I had a few goes. I eventually started getting more used to it. Before we wrap up, I have to mention the worst thing about this game. I mean, it's all beautiful right now, and it's looking like solid 10s, except the save progress is 100% online.
So if your internet goes, you can't save your game?
Whether it's your internet going or it's them doing maintenance, which they did a lot of at the start, obviously, because it's just freshly out, you know, and they're helping. But three times... I found myself in the game and these missions aren't easy. And I finally got gold and I'm cheering. And then it says, sorry, we can't save it. There's maintenance. Yep. Please try again later. So I've left it on for hours and hours and hours and nothing. So I'd have to redo it or wait till that. They literally cut half the game out and all you can do is arcade mode. So that's the biggest downfall for me, is that it is constantly online. Not the gaming, but the saving.
So what's your score?
I give this... as far as what it is in a racing simulator, like I think it's a 9.3 for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It nails exactly what it's trying to do, and it felt really good.
I was very let down by not much of a career mode.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I see they put a lot of effort into online, but I still like that single career mode. So for me, I'm only going to give this an 8.
Oh, okay. Still great.
Yeah, still great game. Looks great. I just... feel without that, there was no sort of push for me to keep going in the game.
Yeah, so I get that. My 9.4 is definitely on the viewpoint of, if you go into this knowing it's a racing simulator and you have to like racing games. If you don't, it's not a Mario Kart.
All right, and that was Gran Turismo Sport. All right, guys, now here's the segment where we have a look at what happened in this week in gaming with Backtrack.
What we're gonna do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
Boom. All right. Backtrack. This week's Backtrack. A very simple one. In October 29th, 1988, Sega releases the Mega Drive in Japan.
Wow. I love that console. I had that console.
You had that one?
I had that one. I actually had two because one broke eventually. I just, you know, stopped working and got another one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a very funny story about my Mega Drive. And it's, I was still in the Solomon Islands. And all I had was an Atari 2600. And I'd seen other, my cousins had a Mega Drive. I played Aladdin on it. It blew my mind. So we saw this one Mega Drive in this video store in the Solomon Islands, which is the only one. They don't stock many like they do here. There's just one there. And I said to my dad, please get me that for Christmas. I will do anything. And it was just hundreds of dollars. Ridiculous price because you have to import it and all that kind of thing. Anyway, Christmas finally came, which is 3 days away from my birthday. So dad said, look, this is Christmas and birthday all at once. And there's this huge Mega Drive shaped box under the tree. And I was just so happy. This was about 1994, so it took a while to get to us. And I just ripped this thing open and I was heartbroken because inside was just a Super Nintendo with Yoshi's Island in it. And I was like, what is this weird piece of garbage? I wanted the Mega Drive. And, you know, lo and behold, it was the greatest piece of gaming ever in my whole life, still now. And thanks, Dad, for making that so-called mistake. But yeah, so that's my story of Mega Drive. Never got one, but tried.
Wow. Yeah, as I said, I got one because friends of mine had them. So I got one as well.
Nice.
And yeah, it was great. You know, Sonic, Mortal Kombat, you know, Sonic.
Yeah, well, I've since tattooed the Super Nintendo controller on my arm. So I guess Dad was right.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, that's dedication there. Wow, yeah, that's a great backtrack.
Yeah, so that's backtrack. That's way backtrack.
All right, on to our questions where our listeners can write into us and ask us anything they want. So,
okay, we have a few questions, but, you know, we got to wrap it up. So we're going to just pick one of them. Today, we're going to go with OJJs on Facebook, which I saw on the profile picture. OJJs is, in fact, a dog. So OJ the dog says, guys, I might be a mutt, but I would like to know what mobile games you guys are playing at the moment and or what's your all-time fave mobile game. My owner plays something all the time, but he won't tell me what it is. It's a real paw scratcher.
Oh, well, geez, what a stupid owner not to tell you.
I wonder what he's scratching his paw with.
I don't know.
I guess another paw.
I don't know. Is he like scratching a mobile phone at this point?
You know what? This guy, this is a typing intelligent dog. Someone needs to put this thing in the Guinness World Records, but thank you for contacting Game Train.
Yes, thank you.
By the way, on our Facebook,
yes,
which is www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast, which you guys can do as well. Ask us anything you want.
Yep. So let's answer the question. Well, I've just downloaded the new Animal Crossing. I haven't really done anything in it at all yet, so I can't really comment on that game. Some of my favorite mobile games of all time, Snake, old classic.
Yeah, can't argue that.
Angry Birds was another one. Had me captivated for a long time. I loved Angry Birds.
Yep.
How about you?
Well, it sounds biased, but it's the Australian developer Half Brick just nailing it twice for me. Fruit Ninja sold me on iPhone. So I was using my like normal, not smartphone. I tried Fruit Ninja on someone's phone and went, yep, got to get this thing. And then after that, I think I spent too many hours on Jetpack Joyride and like I don't want to talk about it type hours. So yeah, both of those. And a special mention to Nom Nom Monkey by Uninspired Productions.
Okay.
Which was really fun. Can't get it anymore unless you're on Android. But a good friend of ours was actually part of the team that made that. And another good friend, which was Dan Simmons from here.
Yeah,
cool. He might be at PAX. I might go find him. And also the music was made by Solomon Quatea.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, bit of fun.
Just remind me, another one I used to like was Temple Run. And I used to play SimCity through Facebook, but I mostly did that on PCs rather than phones.
Yes. Yeah.
But the other question, which we're not going to answer this week because I've been slack and haven't thought about it
as much as
I should have. Kyle's got his, but we're not going to answer. We're going to mention it now, so I have to answer it next week
instead of
avoiding it.
Good. Okay, that's very. You want to ask it? Here you go.
Okay, so this is from our good friend Reef, as always.
Boom.
Okay,
hey, Reef.
He said, who is your favorite video game protagonist and why? So, I don't know big still.
Question.
It's a big question, and I've got to put actually more thought into it. So, sorry, Reef. We'll be answering it on episode 23 of the Game Train podcast.
Yes.
All right, guys. We're coming up to the end of the show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. But before we go out, as always, it's our hype and lame train. So, let's kick off the lame train.
All right, so us being in video game journalism and being keen to review and talk about games as quick as we can, sometimes earlier if we're allowed to, you know, it's very important to us that we're able to get these things rolling. But unfortunately, my lame train is that some people have the power to pull that right back on whole companies. And poor Nintendo was having issues with both Fire Emblem Warriors and Super Mario Odyssey and being able to send that out early to people like us so that we could have a play and have a game, because some people have taken their games and shared them outside of embargo, which is just ridiculous. And obviously, out of respect, they don't mention who it is. They know who it is and they've found out. But because of that, they had to hold back all kinds of games and stuff from different journalists and reviews and all kinds of things and pull it right back, which is also why, unfortunately, we don't have a full review now. And I find that just so disrespectful from the people receiving games from these companies, like people like Nintendo and PlayStation and, you know, all that kind of thing. Them sending out a game is a huge sign of trust and respect. And then when someone goes and just, you know, to show off, or film themselves playing it or talk about it early outside of their contractual agreement, and then they bring down the entire company, the entire company's sort of ability to share that with the rest of the world's journalists and to talk about their games. I find that just awful, and that is definitely my lame train.
Mine is, this is going to sound like a really strange lame train right now.
Okay.
Okay. So on Friday the 27th of October. Is,
say that again.
On Friday the 27th of October. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that.
That's all right. Gotcha.
Three games are coming out on the same day. And just not any games. We've got Super Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein. All coming out on the exact same day. It's like everyone's announced their release date at the same time and going, oh, and they're all staring at each other around the poker table waiting for someone to blink first. No one's blinking first to back out on that day. So they're like, all right, we're going head to head with everyone here.
Well, Mario and Assassin's Creed just both turned and looked at Wolfenstein and went, are you sure?
Yeah. But that's my lantern, that these three games all come out on the same day. It's like, what do you play?
Yeah.
Which way do you go on that? Like, that's... it's a hard one, and we've called this game, well, we've gotten that from the IGN podcast, Game Day.
Because, yes.
Yes, so October 27th is now officially Game Day.
Which is also when Stranger Things 2 drops on Netflix.
So and, like, and Australian PAX first day as well.
Of
so,
course.
So it's all on this one day, and there's a lot going on. So
all I know is there'll be a lot of people on Switch tomorrow.
So my lame train is that there's too much going on in the one day, and we don't know where to divert our attention to.
Yeah, it's a real first world problem, lame train.
Which now brings us
Hype Train.
Oh. Again, you're going to laugh at me on this one. My Hype Train is Game Day and PAX.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like it's hard. It's such an exciting thing that all this is all happening at once. But with the lame train, as I said before, a bit overwhelming, but it's just exciting that it's like, whoa, look at this one day when everything is happening. Let's call it Game Day.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's like Christmas for gamers.
Like, what is Christmas gonna do? They got a lot to live up to. Santa, I hope you're listening. My hype train is that I'm in Melbourne for PAX. You know, I'm from Brisbane and I don't get over here very often, but it's really exciting. And we're here with Genghis Tuan doing our media and filming. We're gonna be getting some film content, just like we did for the EB Expo, and putting that on our Facebook and YouTube channel. And I'm really excited to be here. I've never been to a PAX, so that is a huge hype train for me. We went in today to do our registration and get ready for tomorrow, and we got to see the convention center from the outside, and there's a Sea of Thieves boat. What? Oh, just bring it on. So, yeah, that's my hype train.
Awesome. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show this week. So, with PAX being on this weekend, yep, we are actually going to do a PAX special.
Yes.
Which we'll probably be putting online Sunday night.
Yeah.
At the conclusion of PAX.
Yeah.
We'll be releasing video content as we finish it.
Yep.
And then next time for episode 23, we have a massive episode. It's going to be huge. That's why this one's going to be a little shorter, because there is going to be so much content in the next one. We are reviewing two games.
Back to back.
Back to back. Carl is reviewing Super Mario Odyssey. I'm reviewing Assassin's Creed Origins. We're doing a split review because they are both massive games.
Yes.
And we feel like both games deserve a lot of time to put in. We don't want to divert our attention between both. So we're doing one each. So yep, double feature in next week's episode.
And the games we've been playing section may be quite small.
Well, my games we'll be playing will be Mario. I think Carl's will be Assassin's Creed, like, which is going to be fun. But the actual review itself is going to be a split on that one. So that's going to be kind of exciting to get stuck into all that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Which brings us to the end of the show now. And my closing fact.
Closing fact, what do you got for us?
All right. The original documents for Super Mario Bros. Show that Mario, at one point, was going to have a jetpack-styled rocket and wield a rifle or beam gun.
Wow, so they planned Mario plus Rabbids all those years ago.
They did, yeah, I know. But yeah, well done Nintendo on that one. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back over the weekend with PAX, and we're back next week with episode 23.
Yes, and this has been Game Train.
Out.